Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Don't forget the reference, right?
Yep.
Colossians 1:21-22.
And you.
Okay, good. Sit down. Here we go. We'll start again. Here we go. We're just looking for the word that's missing. Next thing. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once.
Very good, sit down. Very good. Once, good. Next one, ready? Get ready. Here we go.
Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in. Colossians 1:21-22, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds.
Okay, very good. Keep going.
Colossians 1:21-22, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled.
Very good.
Yeah, we're getting it. Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh. We got it. We're getting it.
Okay, here we go.
Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. In.
Okay, good. Every word counts, right? Okay, here we go.
Colossians 1:21-22. Oh, I missed it. This one? Okay. Sorry. Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present. Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless. Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before.
Here we go.
Colossians 1:21-22. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him.
Comma. Yes! That's right, comma. I heard it. Hold on, let's hold it. Who said it? I heard it. Comma, right here in this row. Here we go. There you go. Comma. Got it. Okay, good. Comma. Very good. Now we're
Greg's running out of hats.
Okay.
Hey, DJ, can you hit this song?
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh, man. That was supposed to be a moment. That was supposed to be a moment. Let's try it. Hey, Max, tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you're ready. Okay, are we ready? Hey, DJ, can you hit this song? You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Come on, dance break. Everybody up. Let's go. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. I'll tell you what, we got to keep the people happy. It felt like last night there was a little bit of hostility. There was a little bit of frustration when we didn't do the song last night. So we've got it. We've got it back for you. We're ready. Again, thank you to the robots for that. So let's turn in our scriptures to Colossians 2, Max, are you back there for me? Okay, thank you. Okay, Colossians 2, 16 through 23, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's go there and I'll read it aloud to us. Ready? Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are all shadows of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by sensuous minds, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for Paul the apostle. Thank you for the church in Colossae. Thank you for the people that were a part of his team that made this scripture come alive. And we thank you that you've preserved it and brought it to us. Lord, as we are this morning here, would you help us examine our hearts and see what things we're putting in front of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have a question for you. I think that we all kind of fall somewhere along the spectrum of, I'll put it, rules and no rules, law and grace, organization, spontaneity. I think that's all kind of the same spectrum. We could disagree about that a little bit. But if that's the spectrum, does that spectrum make sense to you? Okay. If you are on that spectrum, okay, over here are rules, like you like regiment, like a routine, that kind of thing. And over here is no rules, grace, spontaneity. That's over here. Just in your mind, think kind of where you line up along that spectrum, okay? Now, just for fun, get up and go there, okay? Rules over here. Rules over here. No rules over here. So, come on, make this quick. I want this to take 90 seconds. No more. Yeah, anywhere in the room. Anywhere in the room. Just along the spectrum, okay? This is, yes, chaos. That's right, chaos, yes. Okay. Order, chaos. Yeah, okay. Okay, everybody kind of where you're at, you think? I'm going to do just a couple quick interviews. Okay. Lewis, right?
Yes.
Okay, everybody. Lewis, tell us about some things that you like.
Like just in general? Or?
No, like on the spectrum.
I like having a schedule and having a routine to follow.
Okay, yeah, schedule, routine. I like that. Okay, let's go over here. Tell me about, you guys are way over in the chaos side. Okay, tell me about that. Just like what's a good day for you? Tell me your first name.
Claire.
Claire, what's a good day for you? Like, what does it kind of feel like?
I wake up and then I text my friend. I'm like, do you want to go do something?
Like, so right away, last minute. And you wake up at like, yeah, I know, yeah. And Lewis, you wake up at like?
6:30.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, go back to your seats, go back to your seats. So let me say this. There is absolutely no judgment about what just happened. Because I actually think this is kind of neutral. Where you fall, it's kind of neutral. Now, it may be, as we get into the scripture, it may be that you say, okay, if I'm more over here, maybe X, right? But if I'm more over here and my personality is this, maybe Y. So think about those things a little bit, okay? But as we get into the scripture, we have to ask our question, what's the therefore?
Therefore.
Hey, you guys, great, great. So what's the therefore, therefore? If we look back, what's really interesting about this, as Paul goes through Colossians, he gets really excited. He'll be saying something, and then he gets really excited about the gospel. He gets really excited about the gospel. And that's what just happened in the verses previous to this that we talked about last night. It was all gospel, right? He's talking about in verses 13 to 15, it's, and you were dead in your trespasses. It's just gospel. And then he says, therefore, and that's where we're headed, right? So oftentimes, this imperatives that we're going to talk about this morning, these things, hey, here's some advice for you, Colossians, because Epaphras has told me that some things are pretty jacked up. So there's some problems. And so I need to remind you of the gospel. And therefore, this, right? So these imperatives, there are these indicatives of the gospel lead to these imperatives that we're going to be talking about this morning. Okay, let's get into it. So when he talks about these problems, I think there are really four problems that he's going to reference in this. Legalism, asceticism, Judaizers, and angels. Let's kind of pick these out as we go through the scripture, okay? Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or whether you regard a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. So festivals, new moons, or Sabbath, those are Jewish things, right? Those are things from the Old Testament law that people are saying, hey, guys, I mean, if you're going to be Christians, you actually kind of, you need to keep the Jewish law. That's the Judaizers, right? These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So shadow, this is like what we're talking about. When you think shadow, you think of the book of Hebrews. Okay? So Hebrews, if you want to know what the Old Testament is about, you read the book of Hebrews. The Old Testament is the best commentary, or excuse me, the book of Hebrews is the best commentary on the Old Testament. It goes through, and the writer of Hebrews talks all about the Old Testament and kind of says, like, so this is what the tabernacle is all about. And I'm actually, I was in Hebrews last night. That's where I'm in my reading plan right now. And he's talking about some similar problems. Angels. So he's like, Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the law. So that makes me think of Hebrews. That's kind of one of those things I was talking about, right? As you kind of get into the scripture more, it's exciting to see all these connections. Super fun. So that's kind of the Judaizers. Let no one disqualify you, verse 18. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by sensuous minds, not holding fast to... asceticism, we're going to talk more about that, but asceticism is mostly they think it was fasting. So, you know, the Pharisees wanted to nail Jesus on fasting. They were like, hey, why don't you and your disciples fast? And he's like, hey, you don't fast when the bridegroom is here. This is what's going on. So even when Jesus was here, people were trying to talk about fasting and these really important rules that that they were going over. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with the growth that is from God. So I have a question. You know, he's talking about these rules and different things. Let's get to that next. Let's keep going. Verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So, these rules, Paul's saying, they have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So let's talk about this. We kind of did some talk last night. Let's talk about this. I'm interested in your thoughts on this. What is the difference between legalism, rules, and healthy boundaries? So I want to give just a space for my introverted friends. So you extroverts, you've already got 12 answers in your mind coming out. But a little bit of space for my introverted friends. Of silence. What do you think? Any thoughts on what the difference between legalism and healthy boundaries? Because Paul is talking about legalism for sure here. He's talking about, man, it's rules, rules, rules. And these have an appearance of wisdom, but they're of no help. This is legalism. So what's the difference between legalism and healthy boundaries? Okay, well, let me give you a couple scenarios. So this phone on the left-hand side, anybody ever seen this phone? You have? Do you know what it's called? This is the Lite Phone 3. It's a dumb phone. It has a camera. The Lite Phone 2 didn't have a camera. And now the Lite Phone 3 has a camera. It has maps, but it calls and texts. That's pretty much it. Most people, so that's the Lite Phone 3. And then what's this one? I know you've seen this one. That's the iPhone 16, 17, whatever else we're on. So I have a son, well, I have two sons who use this phone. And they use this phone for lots of reasons, because the phones previously were unhelpful to them in lots and lots of different ways. And I use this phone, not this one. I have like iPhone 7 or something like that, you know, but I use this phone. What's the difference? Like, this is a difference, right? So, if my son is using this phone on the left, is that what Paul's talking about? Is he saying, like, rules, it's rules, just, it's not going to be any help to you in your heart? Let me give you my take on it. I think, well, let's do one more scenario. I've got one more scenario. So some of you are over here, right? You've got, this is what your phone looks like. Some of you, right? And this is not only what your phone looks like, maybe this is what your day looks like. This is what you wake up and there's, and it's somebody, what did Molly say, call this? Death scrolling? Doom scrolling. I was like, that's a thing? So you're in your bed doom scrolling? Is that also, that's like a thing too? Okay. That's hard. So that's somebody's life. But then you have somebody over here who's like, nope, no social media, zero. Like, I don't do any social media. So these are two different things, right? This is two different scenarios. I think what Paul's saying, the difference between legalism and healthy boundaries is this. For what? And why? And what's the point? So in this passage, I think what they're saying is actually the rules are the most important. Right? He's saying, hey, if you don't do the New Moon Festival, if you don't do the Sabbath the way we say, if you aren't fasting the way we say, you aren't a Christian. Or you're at least not a Christian like I'm a Christian. Do you know those Christians? Oh, that outfit, whew, that's backsliding. Whatever you want to call it, right? And so, I think the most important piece about both of these scenarios is know yourself. You have to discern who you are. I'm sorry, young person, if you are in the throes of pornography, you don't get a phone like everybody else does. Come on! Like, that's not rocket science. Now, maybe it's this phone, but it's not this phone unlocked like everybody else. It's you going to your mom and saying, Mom, I need you to lock this down so it doesn't do any of the things I'm a mess doing. Or to your dad, or to your youth pastor, or to your some responsible adult in your life. And you say, because I can't do it by myself right now. I'm a mess. Now, what you don't get to say then is to your friend, well, you know, I locked the phone down and, you know, doing really, really well. Just, you don't have your phone locked down. Oh, well, okay. I good luck with that. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? So the difference between a healthy boundary over here is, what do you need? What can you handle? What are the things in your life that you need help with. You need boundaries around. Those are for you. That is a matter of your conscience. Hopefully, in community, where you're having conversations to say, no, I mean, the light phone, this is an inconvenience. This is what Greg said the other night. This is a suffering. But it might be the one that you need. Or it might be this and whatever. Or you might be like, you know, actually, that's not the deal. That's not my deal. I'm not doom scrolling in bed all night. I'm not up to my ears in pornography. I'm okay. But my mouth is a rancid wasteland of gossip and jealousy. So I've got to have somebody close to me calling me on my mouth. I have to confess that to them and say, hey, I've really been struggling with talking about people the way I've been talking about them. So if that starts, will you just kind of put your hand on my shoulder and say, you got better than that? Or whatever it is, right? And then, but that doesn't mean that then you get to, when somebody comes up to you and starts, that you, hey, you got better than that. I've asked for some real great accountability. No. So are we clear kind of what the difference between healthy boundary that we all should have around all sorts of things? I had a friend who, in college, he was going to gay bars and doing ministry there. And I thought, wow, that is intense. Now, that wasn't his struggle. If that's your struggle, I'm telling you, that is not the ministry that God is calling you to. Right? That makes sense? So whatever it is, you have to understand, where are my sin patterns? Where are the things that I've been struggling with? And then, within your community, whatever that is, you're honest about that. You're putting some healthy boundaries about that. But Paul talks in 1 Corinthians a lot about the weaker brother. And we do not get to put our conscience on somebody else. Now, let me say this. There are some things that are not conscience. If you're fornicating, if you're having sex with your girlfriend and somebody calls you on that, that's not them putting their conscience on you. Does that make sense, what we're talking about? If you're swearing like a sailor and somebody says, dude, come on, that's not somebody putting their conscience on you. If you're, yeah, there are some absolutes, right? We're not saying, oh, it's good for you, it's good for me. No, there are absolutes that are very clear in Scripture. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our own pieces that we work out in our conscience. Let me share this. So I showed you a Chris Powers piece last night. Let me share this one with you. And I think it's super helpful. And I want to get out of the way, and I'm going to read to you a little bit of what he says about this piece. Okay. So this is based on Colossians 2:23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. One of the most common answers, this is now from his website, one of the most common answers is rules. Don't do this, don't touch that, don't go there, etc. There's nothing wrong with these, but they are not a fix. Like a tourniquet that stops the bleeding on a battlefield but doesn't heal the underlying problem. Rules may prune a few poison fruits of the flesh from the tree of our God-opposing nature, but they will leave the root alive and thriving in our hearts. They may seem impressive, but they're ultimately powerless to address the toxic core of the matter, namely that our hearts are enthralled by something other than God and Christ. For now, note in this image that the man is attempting to cut away the indulgence of the flesh in his own power. He is able to remove one fruit from the tree, but since it remains rooted in his heart, more are growing all the time. See also that the shears of self-made religion that he uses are themselves part of that tree. Finally, note the cross of Christ, the tree of life, shines dimly in the distance, alluding to the answer we will consider in part two. So, back to these healthy boundaries. I think we have to understand that if we're putting up boundaries around our heart, that's important, but it's not going to fix the problem. The fix of the problem is holding fast to Jesus Christ, relying on him like we talked about this afternoon, the last night, relying on him for our daily bread. Now, I think it's really important to say this is not an either or. It's not either you really love Jesus and seek after him and abide in him and don't have problems with sin, or you put up healthy boundaries and work those boundaries and then you don't have problems with sin. This is a both and, right? Oftentimes, especially when we are in the throes of sin, we need somebody to really come alongside of us and help us with some of those healthy boundaries so that we can go deeper into our relationship with the Lord. And don't be surprised, young person, that you're struggling with your relationship with the Lord when you don't have any healthy boundaries. Lewis has this amazing quote, and I'll bring it because it's too good for me to mess it up. But he says, most of the time, we are given the opportunity for a day at the sea. And instead, we are satisfied with making mud pies in the slum. The problem is that we are too easily satisfied. Amen? Are you too easily satisfied? In other words, Christ has abundance of life, life to the full for you. And you're either happily in your regimented, self-righteous thing over here saying, I'm a good Jesus follower because I'm checking all the boxes. Or maybe you're over here and you're in sin chaos. Either way, it's that satisfaction thing. Christ has something so much better for us, but your mud pie looks like this and your mud pie looks like this. We're too easily satisfied. And man, am I preaching to myself here. Too easily satisfied. So, lest we say, you know, actually, this is an amazing relationship. I love to sin. The Lord loves to forgive. What could be better? So these folks maybe struggle with the legalism piece, where you're like, I've got this all pulled together because I've got all my pieces taken care of. I've got all my rules, and I'm checking the rules off every day. And then these folks are over here, maybe they're saying, you know, 1 John 1:9, it's my favorite verse. If we confess our sins, and I confess them every day, the same one, every single day. That's what we call antinomianism. You want to say that with me? Antinomianism. Antinomianism just means anti-law. So you have the legalists and the antinomianists. So it can't be either or, right? It can't be, the guys I listened to on podcast, they said, it's a beautiful relationship. I love to sin and God loves to forgive. No, that's not the way it works. Why not? Because of the gospel. This cost Christ everything. He gave up everything. This is not a cheap grace that we say, thank you, Lord, I got this. Again, woo, thank you. This cost Christ everything, so much so that we can't mess around with either of these extremes. We can't mess around on this side saying, you know, this worked out great. Christ saved me, and I've got it from here. But we also can't mess around over here on this antinomian side to say, you know, this works out great. So that's where we're headed. Let me give you one quote. This is from Doug Moo, who's a theologian at Wheaton College. And it says this. So he's talking about the problem in Colossae. For the false teachers were apparently suggesting that Christians need to go beyond the gospel that Epaphras had taught the Colossians in order to experience spiritual fullness. And so it is often the case with false teachers, who err not always in subtracting from the gospel, but in seeking to add to it. The gospel can be perverted through addition just as easily as through subtraction. So that's what this passage is about, that they're actually stealing from the gospel by adding all these rules. And Paul's not down with that. I love these letters because you start to get, Paul's a little worked up here, isn't he? He's not Galatians worked up. You want to hear Paul get worked up? Galatians. Anathema, that's worked up. But he's getting here. And then he kind of lays back a little bit in the next chapter. But he's worked up here. He's like, we're not down with this. It's good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your scriptures that bring us to places that we need to go, maybe places that we're not super excited about, but I thank you for bringing us here. Lord, wherever we lie on this spectrum of works and grace, of self-righteousness and antinomianism, would you help us? Would you help us, Lord, to put up healthy boundaries and not to make those boundaries anything above you, because Christ, you are preeminent and you have reconciled us in order to present us holy and blameless and be above reproach. So Lord, be with us the rest of this day. Help these things to mull in our minds, and then Holy Spirit, do this work in our hearts so that we might become holy and blameless before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.